The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. This is on page 971. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
Yvonne, thank you so much for reading that to us. And I wonder, as Yvonne was reading that to us, I wonder as we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount, if you notice the number of choices that range throughout the passage today. Two treasures, what do you store? Two visions, where do you look? Two masters, who do you serve? Two desires, what do you prioritize? Choices, we have loads of choices today. Maybe too many choices, maybe more than ever before. Maybe last night as you were relaxing on a Saturday evening and you sat down on the sofa and thought, let's watch a film. And so as you get up Netflix, you think, what film? I've come with no agenda. What film shall I watch? Over 5,000 choices of films on Netflix and so many random Christmas ones already. But as you sit down to watch your film, you think, you know what, I'd love a little bit of a snack to go with my film watching. Underrated snack for the evening, I tell you, a bowl of cereal before you go to bed. And so as you search simply cereal on Tesco, 198 options pop up for just a bowl of cereal. And so once you've chosen your choco nut pillows and you're sat down to watch your Netflix film that you've finally chosen, as you're sat there, your eye wanders to the wall and you think, I think our wall could do with a fresh lick of paint. And so you go on the Deluxe website and there are no shorter than 1,200 options of paint choices for you to choose from. What's happened to just the simple white? But on Dulux, there's now 97 variations of white, including moon shimmer, or frosted dawn, or delicate seashell. We're overburdened with choice. And I wonder if the danger with too many choices is it leads to worry. It wouldn't have been hard to spot in the second half of our passage this morning is a big theme about worry. And Jesus tells us three times to not worry, verse 25, 31, and 34. And yet, maybe as you think of life at the moment for you, and you hear Jesus say that three times, maybe there's part of you that goes, well, it's easy for you to say that, Jesus. I bet you didn't have 198 options of cereal or 1,200 options of paint colours for the wall. But the reality is that for so many people, not just in our country, but across the world, there are serious worries to be had today. Over to 2020, as the pandemic set in, levels of anxiety and worry increased massively, understandably so. And yet as we came out of it, 2022, 2023, levels of worry and anxiety kept rising, and most prevalent within our younger generations. Why is that? Loads of different reasons. But I find it striking that as we in the West predominantly live in a world that is probably more developed than ever before, probably with more money than ever before, definitely with more choices than ever before, so we have more worry and anxiety than ever before. What can we do about it? Well, Jesus helps us to think about our worries. And he shows that it has something to do with our choices. So two questions we're going to ask ourselves this morning as we look through this passage. And first we're going to ask, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? This section 19 to 24 has three sections to it, three parts to it, and each of those with two choices, as we've seen. Two things to store, two ways to look, two masters to serve. You see, it seems that Jesus recognizes the temptations of our world, and he wants us in the midst of them to make good choices. And I'm convinced as relevant, or if not more relevant now than back in Jesus' day. First, Jesus compares two treasures. He shows the issue with treasures on earth, verse 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It's good advice, isn't it? He warns of the danger of storing up for ourselves those things that we value, those things that we hold on to, because he says, well, they can be destroyed. They can be worn out over time, fade with time, or horribly, they can be taken, stolen from us. Jesus warns there is no permanent security and no permanent satisfaction from our possessions or our treasures. And even if we do pretty well, the lasting reality is that we cannot take them with us when we die. And so instead, Jesus says, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. It's a complete contrast. These things cannot be destroyed. These things cannot be taken. What are these treasures in heaven that Jesus is talking about? Well, it's interesting. He doesn't explicitly say what they are. But he does hint that they're the things that we most prize, the things that we treasure or value most. verse 21, the things that grab our heart. And seeing as Jesus tells us they last for eternity, it's surely the things we do on this earth that matter have significance for the whole of eternity. The priority that we give to God's agenda and call for our everyday lives. The way that we treat and serve and love others around us. The way we're called to be a witness to others who don't know Jesus, to share with them. No burglar can steal it. No vermin can destroy it. No measures needed to protect it. No insurance needed to cover it. Jesus says it's indestructible. Two treasures. Which will you store up? And Jesus says, surely it's the one that will last. And that can be stored without any threat. And Jesus goes on, verse 24, and shows that it really isn't an either or. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Serve here, it's using the language, the picture of the slave. And so it's thinking a picture of ownership rather than employer. Because you might read that and think, well, I have two jobs. I'm able to serve, to work for two employers. But Jesus is less thinking about employment and work and more thinking about slave, because it is not possible to be the slave of two owners. And this word money has the capital M. It's a broader term. It speaks of wealth, our possessions. And so Jesus challenges us here. Are you trying to serve both? Maybe God on a Sunday, but our money, our wealth, our possessions the rest of the week. Maybe God outwardly with my lips, but actually, if I'm really to ask myself, it's money and wealth and possessions inwardly in my heart. Jesus says, you can't serve both. So which is it to be? And look, in a materialistic Western culture, these are such challenging words from Jesus. Where is our treasure? Verse 21. If someone looked at our diary or bank balance, who are we serving? Verse 24. And look, Jesus isn't saying, I don't think, not to have any kind of possessions or money. Nowhere does he say we shouldn't have anything. And equally, I don't see Jesus saying, don't have a plan for the future. No, be wise in the future. But it's more challenging. What is the place that we give them? Do you notice the language? Verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. He's speaking into that almost selfish motivation that's looking out for self. And so challenging, does money, does possession have such a hold over you that in fact you're ending up serving it? Not so much simply just having them, but as Jesus says in verse 21, it captures our hearts. And so maybe you find, as it catches your heart, so you find it shaping your decisions. So you find it being the subject of your daydreams. I wonder where you might reflect and find yourself being in danger of this. Set your hearts on things above, because that is a treasure that never fades. And why is this so important? What impact can it have on deciding where to store your treasure, who it is we serve? Well, because Jesus goes on to say it has the power to speak into our worries. First, Jesus asks, where's your treasure? And secondly, Jesus asks, where's your trust? Where's your trust? The second section is all about worry. We've spoken about the reality of worry earlier, and it's sometimes not necessarily helpful for someone just simply say, oh, just don't worry about it. And yet, as we've highlighted, Jesus says that three times. Look, Jesus knows that we might worry. He wouldn't bring it up otherwise. But he also says it's possible to not worry. How on earth is that possible? Look, I'm glad we've chosen to do these two sections together. Often verses 25 to 34 on worry can be taken as a standalone. But hopefully you can see just through the language that these two sections are linked by the first word of verse 25, therefore. Jesus is saying, in light of the first bit, therefore. So make the right choices. Choose treasures on earth. Choose to serve money, then it's likely that will have a hold on us and we'll end up worrying about it. Being held captive to the billions and billions of pounds that are spent on advertising, on food and drink and clothes to capture your heart and to take you in. But choose treasure in heaven. Choose to serve God. Well, therefore, Jesus seems to say here, not that food and drink and clothes aren't important, not that we don't need to think about it, but that we can have a trust in our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. That means we can be in a position that we don't need to worry about it. Jesus shows us wonderfully how. He almost gives two responses. One is, if you like, the more logical, common sense response, verse 27. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He says, think about it. Worry doesn't make your life longer. In fact, if anything, it's probably got the power to shorten it. So don't worry. It's almost like the Hakuna Matata philosophy. Just don't worry. There's no point. But Jesus spends more time on giving a much fuller, richer answer to why we need not worry. And he does it by using a kind of small to big argument, a lesser to greater argument, verse 26. He points us to two areas of creation to make his point. He says, look at the birds of the air. He uses an illustration to show how God supplies food. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns. And yet they are fed. Or then he says, look at the flowers of the field. That word is literally lilies. I attempted to time when to get my lilies to see if they'd be out perfectly in time. Seeing as I know nothing about flowers, I didn't do too well, but maybe it adds to the illustration because he says, look at the flowers of the field, the lilies. See how beautiful they are? And yet they don't spin or labor. And if the flowers in all their beauty, after a matter of days of being in my living room, are here today and ready to be thrown away, if the lesser is so beautiful and cared for, or do you not see how the greater you, made in the image of God, cared for by a heavenly Father, will love you and care for you? Some of you will know, and I've said before that during the pandemic, Rosie and I found it a really tough period, as many people in the world did. We struggled with worry and anxiety. In April 2021, our firstborn daughter Lily was born, and we chose the name Lily from these verses as a hopefully constant reminder that God is good, that God does care for us, and that we can trust in Him. These are challenging verses, and I think for some people here, it will raise different questions and worth just saying what I think these verses are not saying. I don't think Jesus is saying here to not have food or drink or clothes, or even to not think about food or drink or clothes. Rather, as we think about them, he challenges us to not worry. Similarly, I don't think it's saying, hey, just kind of the expression I've heard, just let go and let God. Almost giving an excuse, a justification to the Christian to sit back and expect all these things to just fall into our lap. Look at his illustrations. The birds have food, but they don't just sit there and it falls into their mouths. They have to go and find it. They work for it. And so as God provides, the means in which God provides can be seen so often in our day-to-day lives. And I wonder as well, for church family, there's a real challenge here to not just be looking out for ourselves, but looking out for those around us who might be finding these areas tough. How can we love and serve one another as God calls us to? Jesus says, verse 31, as he kind of sums up, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Because that's what the pagans, those who don't believe in God, that's what they do, verse 32. As they run after the things of this world, as they make their whole world about them. And yet we have a Heavenly Father who knows us and loves us and cares for us. And so he says, do not worry, but rather, there is something far greater to be doing with all our energies and our efforts, verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He says, have a heart set not on treasures of this world, but on treasures in heaven. Have a heart set not on food and drink and clothing, but on God's kingdom and God's righteousness. God's kingdom, we've seen it's a big theme as we've worked through this Sermon on the Mount, to live as part of God's kingdom. That is to live with God's rule over his creation. We saw it mirrored last week in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. That all of his creation would live under his good and right rule. God's righteousness, another theme we've seen as we've worked through the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember back in chapter 5, verse 6, one of the Beatitudes, that we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not just the kind of right standing before God, but also the right living according to God. Our right conduct. Here are the right concerns of someone looking to trust in the Lord. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. As we think about these verses, I wonder what it is for you that could be causing you worry at the moment. Whether it's the vital things like this of food and drink and clothes, or other worries of tomorrow. We want to be a church, as we've said, a community where we can seek the support of one another. It's why we place such a big emphasis on our small groups, realizing that in a fairly big church like this, it can be hard to get to know people. But actually, by breaking it down into a smaller group, it can be a group of people we can get to know and build relationships and trust and seek to receive support and to support. As Phil prayed, we are called in the New Testament to bring our anxieties to God because he is our Heavenly Father who cares for us. And in the midst of them, will we rather trust in his goodness and his priorities, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness? I wonder what that might look like for you, seeking his kingdom, his righteousness, for you in your own personal life, at home, in private, with the family, at work, in our language that we use, in our conduct as we live, how we spend our money. But also as we long for seeking his kingdom, it gives an outward focus, wanting others to know the goodness of living in God's kingdom. Will we use Christmas as an opportunity to be sharing that with others? Will we look to trust him to care for us and so not worry? One person who had things to worry about and yet showed her trust is Darlene Deibler-Rose, who wrote this, her autobiography of her experience. She was an American missionary to Papua New Guinea in 1939, and she was there when World War II broke out, and she was taken and put in a prisoner of war camp. And during her time in the prison camp, she was sent to solitary confinement. And this is her account of her experience. On the door of the cell before which the guard paused were written these words, "This person must die." The guard unlocked the door, opened it, and shoved me inside the cell. The door closed upon me, and I dropped to my knees. Never had I known such terror. Suddenly, I found myself singing a song I had learnt as a little girl in Sunday school. "Fear not, little flock, whatever your lot. He enters all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsakes, he never is gone. So count on his presence till darkness, till dawn." And she writes, "So tenderly my Lord wrapped his strong arms of quietness and calm about me. I knew they could lock me in, but they couldn't lock my wonderful Lord out. Jesus was right there in the cell with me." Now, of course, we won't experience the experiences that Darlene went through, but we will have our own challenges and our experiences that do cause us worry. What will it look like to look to our Lord and to trust his good care for us? And as we go through those experiences, will we look to the speaker of these words, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was someone who had a life that was anything but free from trouble and pain, and yet pointed us to the birds and the flowers? Someone who, rather than worry of the troubles who faced him, most seen as he was put on a cross to die, committed himself to trust in his heavenly Father. As we go through experiences of trouble, will we look to Jesus Christ as our great example and Savior? We're faced with choices every single day, and as we make these choices, Jesus challenges us, will we make choices that stores up treasures in heaven for eternity? And as we do that, will we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, trusting that our heavenly Father loves us and cares for us? Let's take a moment to pause, and then I'll say a prayer for us in a few moments. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." Father God, as we're thrown so many choices to make each and every day of our lives, will you help us to make the choices that matter for eternity? Will you help us to trust in you and so seek your kingdom and your righteousness? Will that shape the decisions we make? Will that shape the way that we live, so we might know you and trust in you always? In Jesus' name, amen.